You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
This is going to be a clusterfuck.
This podcast has no rules.
Talking to the mic, asshole.
I'm sure I've already said, should I regret?
Can I get a microphone?
No! What the fuck?
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. Sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense. No topics.
No directions. I love doing it.
Don't play both sides of the coin.
That's how a host does, you motherfucker.
I'm honored that you think my podcast is popular enough where I might affect somebody's life.
You never know.
It's Robert Kelly's You Know What Do podcast on riotcast.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Whoa, this is very exciting right now. The voice you're hearing is not Robert Kelly. You know what, dude? Robert Kelly is not here right now. I am comedian Pete Corielli. I'm here with comedian Sebastian Maniscalco, and this is a takeover of You Know What, Dude, the Robert Kelly podcast, because you know what, dude? Robert Kelly is on a new Dennis Leary TV show, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ever does this cast again.
He's too big for this, yeah.
He's about to be too big, and that is a voice I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Yes.
Chris?
It's Chris Scopo, yes, everyone knows.
So, let me just say, Sebastian, say what's up to the people here. We're raging out.
Yeah, no, this is, got to thank everybody for having us in here. This is totally a different setup than we're used to. Pete and I typically have a podcast we do weekly called the Pete and Sebastian Show, and we do it via Skype. Now we are in a studio with 8 chairs, the amount of wires going throughout the there's cutouts. Kelly, I mean, we don't have any of this. Should we get some of this stuff?
That's exactly before we started. I'm looking at all of the shows on Riotcast, and all of you have them all on a blanket with their like symbol, you know, like everything from DePaulo's face, the Jersey Jerks, or whatever, and we got nothing. I do it from my home in upstate New York. Sebastian does it from L.A., and we combine them and we do it once a week, and it's called the Pete and Sebastian Show. And Robert's an old friend, and we're both in town. Sebastian's playing at Gotham Comedy Club all week, 2 shows a night. It's all sold out.
And Pete said bananas in New Jersey this week.
It's still available! Until soon, baby. I got a new hour special coming out on Showtime probably in November, and that's going to turn the tables. And that's going to make me blow up and get a blanket, baby.
That's it.
You'll be on the blanket after that, yeah.
So, no, it's a pleasure to be here, man. And we're hoping you guys hear us today and you like what we do enough. And then maybe you'll start listening to our show. Chris, we want to thank you. We want to thank Robert Kelly for allowing us to come here.
No problem.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, guys. Yeah. I didn't have much choice. Bobby just said, Pete and Sebastian doing a show. You're doing it Thursday. I was like, all right. We'll do it.
And then he's like, who else do you want on it? And I was like, we'll just us. Yeah. And we come in, now there's like 90 empty chairs, and we got nothing to say.
We didn't know there was so many empty chairs. But, we took the subway over here. I typically don't take the subway, and I have to thank Pete for kind of guiding me around that. And I smelled piss in the subway. I'm not a typical New Yorker, so I don't know like the ins and outs of how this all works.
You never lived in New York, right?
Never lived in New York. Yeah. Always visit. Don't take the subway. And I'm like, is that urine? And Pete's like, yeah, what, are you kidding me? People piss all the time down here. I'm like, oh, okay.
You're lucky someone's dick wasn't out, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, when I lived on the Upper East Side, sometimes I would like go out during the daytime, like, I'm going to write outside. And I'd go and I'd sit on a little bench on right off the FDR Drive overlooking the East River. And one time I look up and there's this big black homeless guy and he's just jerking off, like towards me, like coming towards me, just rubbing it. And I just moved. I didn't call anybody. I didn't take a photo. It was just, you know. So I needed to get out of here myself.
If you take the subway enough, you'll see a dick at least a month. One dick a month.
Is that the average?
Yeah. And you'll see a homeless guy's ass a lot of the times because they'll just start peeing in the middle of the subway.
Wow.
Honestly, I've never seen it. Lived in New York City my whole life. Never seen a guy jerking off in public.
Really?
Not once. Seen it in India, not in the U.S.
So how long have you lived? Did you grow up in India?
Yes. No, I've just been a couple times. And then
really?
I saw a trail of jizz in the morning. I was walking down the street in New Delhi.
Uh-huh.
Just saw a little pocket of jizz on the street. And that was the closest.
Is there any truth to that in certain parts of India, there's no toilet paper and people wipe their hands with their hands so they only shake with their one hand?
I think... He's not blowing it off.
He's not blowing it off.
Yeah.
He's not. I mean, I thought he was going to go, what the fuck are you talking about? He goes, oh, all the time. So you've heard of this.
Well, the one hand thing, I think that's more of a Muslim tradition.
Yeah, I've heard of that. They don't, I think they wipe with their left, they shake with their right, or something like that.
Why? But it has nothing to do with wiping their ass with the other hand.
No, I think it is.
Yeah, that.
I think it is the reason why, yeah.
Yeah.
You know that?
They wipe their ass with
their
hand.
They reserve one hand,
hand
for wiping their ass.
Do you always want...
I think. I shouldn't be like the goat. I'm not even Muslim, but yeah.
All right, I don't want to sound too ignorant here, but we're assuming they're wiping their ass with toilet paper, but just the fact that that hand is being used to touch their ass, they would never want that hand to touch another person's hand.
It's a courtesy, yeah. It's like a sign of respect. Yeah.
That's ironic, because I'm righty, so I actually shake everybody's hand with the hand that I wipe my ass with.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never do it with my left hand. It's always my right.
Right.
So... Why, we got to switch that up now?
I guess so, yeah.
So anyway, listen. Pete and I never typically talk face-to-face, so we're definitely getting used to this whole face-to-face thing. And I got to ask you, what is on the your earphones? That's like a little carpet? You got like a little carpet on your earphone there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They gave me a little...
Oh, nice. Yeah, the little ear mics, yeah.
Little ear mics.
Don't you have one?
Do I got them?
I don't think you do, yeah.
No.
If you want, you can take someone else's earphone.
No, as nice as this place is, though, there's like I got a humming in my headphones, and the floor isn't level, and I'm on wheels, so if I put my feet up, I roll in.
That side does it rolls down this way.
Yeah,
it's to the left. Yeah, it comes down. We used to have that couch was over there, and then people would just fall asleep half the time on the couch. You just sink right in.
Yeah.
So Bobby was like, "We need chairs in the room." Now everyone just rolls around.
Moves around.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you something
in regards to what we do.
But my mom listens to this. Oh, she's not gonna listen to this. Let's talk about it. I need an idea to get my mother a 70th birthday present. She's turning 70 July 2nd, and I was gonna get her a trip to Hawaii because she's never been to Hawaii before.
I was about to suggest the crock pot. What the fuck?
It's a big one.
I was thinking a pair of earrings, yeah, something like that.
It's a big thing.
All
it's
right,
70
we did
years
earrings
old.
For my mom's 70, but we all chipped in.
Okay.
Right.
Well, Hawaii's this is
nice.
Yeah, it's like on her bucket list.
Okay.
But she recently went traveled to Las Vegas to come see me perform, and she didn't like the plane ride. She's like, "Listen, I ain't a big traveler. I'm never going to make it to Hawaii." So, Hawaii's out. Now I got to kind of think of something else to get the lady.
Right, right.
And I'm kind of hitting a speed bump here.
Did she fly first class to Vegas?
No.
Why don't you fly first class to Hawaii? It's a totally different experience.
First class coach, it's not a... It's the way the plane moves. It shakes. It screws up her equilibrium.
Oh.
So she don't want to... She don't want to do it.
What about a high level cruise?
We talked about that. She don't want to do that either because of the motion sickness.
Okay.
So traveling's out.
Traveling is out.
Yeah.
I had an idea at dinner with Lana. Maybe a car.
A new car?
New car. But what car could I get the woman? She's 70 years old. I'd get her like
she's
a
Italian?
Yeah, she's Italian.
Cadillac? They love the Cadillac.
Yeah, but she's not like that Italian.
Okay.
You know, she might maybe it's like a two-seater, but I don't know what.
Maybe one of those, the punch buggy ones, the new Volkswagen, one of those little.
Oh, two, the bug?
The bug, yeah.
Yeah, nah, that ain't going to work.
She convertible, though?
I don't know, maybe.
Does she like to drive?
Yeah, I mean, not that she likes to drive, but she needs a new car.
What if you did something the opposite? Just something so insane, like just somehow hired, like, I mean, could you even afford, I don't know if it's possible, Tony Bennett knocks on the door and just sings one tune?
What do you think Tony Bennett runs for a song?
I don't think he would come into a song, but for a concert?
No, one song.
You think he'd come and just sing one song if he's in L.A.?
Well, we're gonna do a dinner for my mother on her birthday. Maybe at the restaurant. You think he would come to the restaurant?
If Tony Bennett lived in L.A. and you had a limo picking him up and it was less than 25 minutes from where he lives to the restaurant, to sing one song
yeah.
for your mom.
How much?
$50,000
$50,000
$50,000
I'd say, yeah, at least $50,000 Yeah.
Listen, there's a country club on Long Island. I was talking to the guy. They're so loaded. They offered Seinfeld $150 large to come and do 45 minutes. He said no. They offered Leno that. Leno wanted $200 and a private jet. And they said that's a little too much. But, like, that's the insanity we're dealing with.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Yeah. So, Tony Bennett, Well,
maybe some earrings then.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Well, what did you get your mother for? Seven earrings?
We all chipped in and we got her earrings or a necklace or something like that.
And what was the reaction on that? Did she enjoy it? I mean, you know, did she look at it and go, oh, this is nice? Or
yeah, no.
Did you get the reaction you wanted from the jewelry?
I don't think there's anything you can get that's really going to cushion the blow of someone being 70. You know? She's like, yeah, they're nice. I guess I'll enjoy them for another couple of months.
Are you an only child?
No, my sister and I.
You both chip in, or you have to one-top each other?
Well, my sister is going to take care of the dinner, and me and my wife wanted to do something.
Oh, if you bring Tony Bennett in for a song.
I think Tony Bennett for a song is nice.
She's going to forget the dinner and say, wow, good job.
That's the thing, too. As you start to, like, you know, you're getting more and more popular financially, the pot grows. It's like, I remember reading once, like, when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston were married, they got they were interviewing Brad Pitt's brother, and he goes, oh yeah, it was great. We all got troopers for Christmas. Like Jen Aniston gave them all a trooper, like the car.
Oh, okay.
You know, and but she said it was from all the siblings. But all the siblings are like, yeah, we can't afford a car. It's obviously from Aniston and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
So like, you'll never, even with your sister though, you'll always say it's from both of you, right?
Oh yeah, no, it's not like we're gonna try and top one another. But, I mean, if you get somebody a car, are you now responsible for the insurance on that? Do you go...
Does your mom already have a car?
She has a car, but you get somebody a car, say, I'll just make the payments. You got the insurance? How's that work?
If it's in your name, then you got to pay for the insurance. If it's in her name, wouldn't she have to pay for the insurance? Unless you give her money.
It's in my name. The car would be in my name, so I'd have to insure the car, right? Is that part of the gift?
I'd buy the car in full, which I'm sure you will. I'd put a bow on it. Pow, it's in your driveway. It's out of my hands. You go register. Yeah. No, you got to get her old car taken away.
Yeah.
You got to get it registered in her name. You got to, you know, she's going to pay the insurance. She's already paying car insurance.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Unless you get like a weekend car. You know, like a car you drive on the weekend.
Yeah, she don't
keep
even
the
have,
other one.
She don't even have a place to store a second car. Yeah.
Speaking of cars, I was in AutoZone 2 days ago where I live online, and I was next in line, and the guy's phone rings, and he answers it, and the guy starts asking him about some sort of battery, and he's explaining what battery it is, and I even have my daughter with me, and I do one of those like that, and the guy looks up. And he like goes like this to say sorry, and I go, hang up on him, make him wait. I was here first. I go, why don't you make him wait? I was here first. Put him on hold. And then literally the guy goes, I have to put you on hold, sir. There was someone online before you. And he puts that guy on hold, and then I needed help that required us to go walk through the store. And the whole time I'm going, I feel so bad that guy's on hold. But I was next, man, and I made my fucking point. There's another thing out there. For you folks that don't normally listen to the Pete and Sebastian show, and right now you're probably saying, why would I? I completely get that. We're out of our comfort zone right here. I'm literally holding myself. Look at his Chris.
It's an away game right now. You're playing an away game. You got to get simulated to the atmosphere.
I'm playing an away game. Me and Sebastian are normally never even face-to-face. Sebastian also gets a little quieter when it's live, so I'm floating out here a little bit, but we do talk about every day. Oh, I'm done. Is there anybody on the chat?
I know
the fucking chat.
I know what you're saying though. You'll be asking for something. They pick the phone up because there's only one of them in the whole store, and then they got to take 10 minutes talking to the guy on the phone. It's so annoying. You're just sitting there the whole time. You're like, what the fuck? What about me?
And why do we sit there? Why am I wrong to just lean over and say, I was next? Make that guy wait. It's like he's cutting me via the phone.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Literally look over at the person and say, I'm next. Put that guy on hold. You learn from us, man.
Yeah, no, it's a learning process when it comes to standing in line. I don't know why people that call in get ahead of the line just because they call on the phone.
Even like with children. I told you about this today. When my daughter says hi to another kid and the kid doesn't say hi back and the parent doesn't do anything about it. We have a unique opportunity here, Sebastian. We never go live. We never have the ability to give people advice on the mistakes that are being made. Do we have anyone on the line that we can actually communicate with?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to ask if the chat to...
I'll call her if it'll kill a half hour. you got a coloring book? We wanted to do this with Robert Kelly and ask him questions, and now he tells us we can do a takeover, and now we're sitting here like two peas in a pod.
Now, listen, yeah. You're doing this stuff in front of your daughter. You think she's picking up on some of this going... Wow, my father's very aggressive. I mean, these are lessons your daughter's going to be picking up on. You want your daughter walking around like some maniac at Home Depot and AutoZone and screaming at people?
There was a boy crying 2 days ago in the park, and she went right up to him, looked him right in the eye, nose to nose, and said, "What's wrong, boy? What's wrong, boy?" That's what I want. Yes. Communicate. Right now, Chris, right? We know this show is a little sluggish. We admit that.
It happens.
I mean, in other parts of the world, we'd be quiet about it and pretend everything's great. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's not amazing.
We're honest.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about honesty.
Yeah, all right. I need a wedge for this fucking seat.
Do you want to move over to that chair?
Yeah, what's this?
No, what's the problem? This is the only comedic humor I got is the fact that the floor's not level. If the floor wasn't it was
that's
straight,
like when you're bombing, just say you're bombing the whole time and try to get it back up through that.
Oh, you ever do that when you're bombing and then you try to make a joke about bombing and even that doesn't get a laugh?
Then you're fucked. That's it.
That's when you know it's time.
It's over.
So who's on the line?
We have a couple of comments. Sokum says, "A nice chair or furniture in favorite color is a must for age 60 plus, if you haven't already."
Do you have a chair at your house that you sit in?
What do you mean? Like a special chair?
Yeah. Like a lazy boy?
Yeah. Do you guys got that? Like, do you go to like the chair?
When I have
you
go a love home? Seat.
A love seat.
Yeah. But I don't like sit on it and then like think. Or something like that. I don't even sit in the chair. I use the futon that's attached to it, and I eat off it because I don't have like a. I live in a little room, so I don't have like a table.
Yeah.
So I just use that basically and eat, watch TV.
Right.
That's the only thing I use for love seat.
You got a chair? I got nothing at the house right now.
I got a couch. What do you mean? You don't have a couch?
I have not. Well, there's a remodel, so we have no couch, no chair, no nothing. So last week, Lana and I ate dinner on the floor in our guest room or guest bedroom. So that's where we're at right now.
That's nice. That's like a 1980s romantic comedy.
Yeah,
no,
we put a towel down, like a little beach towel. We had a picnic in the bedroom.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah,
you know,
that's nice.
Don't have to worry about the outdoors. That's nice. It's romantic.
Yeah, so me and Lana really got heated the other day with this whole remodel. We were FaceTiming.
Yeah.
And Lana lost her cool on FaceTime and threw the phone on the bed. So the FaceTime was just looking right at the sheets. And I don't know if you ever got in an argument where your wife was she's hot, but I went the opposite way, and I went cool.
Yeah.
And there's really nothing they could do with that.
It upsets them more.
Oh, yeah.
When you go like, "Hey, babe, whatever you want to do, you want to do that? Go right ahead." She didn't even know how to process it.
But were you the reason she threw the phone to
begin
with?
Yeah. But I was just asking questions to her, and she got frustrated with my, you know, because she's like, "We're going to have to move out of the house." And she's like, "Yeah, you know, it's going to get dusty, and we got to get a hotel room." I go, "Well, where do you think we're going to get the money for the hotel room?" And right there, she went off, and then I just kept my calmness. She couldn't even process it. She had nothing but to come down to my level. But inside, I was boiling. Because when she threw the phone, I wanted to go, "Oh, yeah? You want to throw the phone?" But we came back down, and man, I highly recommend all guys out there, if your girl ever gets a little hot with you, go the opposite route, man.
Yeah,
it's really worth it.
Because that's what
she
wanted you. She wanted you to get hot, so she hang the phone up, and that's the end of the conversation.
Well, you know what? She doesn't like for me to get hot because I get hot psychotic, and then she starts questioning, "What am I even doing with this guy? This guy's out of his mind." But then we go, I'm telling you, it worked.
See, I get psychotic too, and Jackie will go, "Look at you, look at the Italian temple, look at what you're doing, you can't even," and that makes me more mad because I do this, I'll go like, I'll put my hands up, like, not that I'm going to hit her, just like I'm going to go like scream and yell, and then I'll just take a deep breath. but it's like really hard not to scream and yell.
Yeah.
And then she'll go, look at you, you can't even control it. And that makes me more pissed. But when she gets pissed and I do what you're doing, try to stay calm.
Yeah.
What you're saying, Chris, that makes her more pissed because then she's like, oh, what are you, cool guy now? Now you're cool and you don't get hopped up? Don't get me all pissed off, Pete, and then you calm down and act like I'm getting crazy for no reason at all. You're the you know.
So she calls you out on the calmness.
Yeah.
Because you're not acting psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like saying, I have a girlfriend, I go, why are you yelling? When she's why are you yelling? There's no reason to yell right now. And then she can't handle that. Yeah. She loses it. She's like, I'm yelling because you're getting me frustrated. I'm like, I'm not frustrated. You're frustrated.
Yeah.
And she can't handle it. She hates it.
Now, wait till you have a kid, and then sometimes my wife's yelling. I'll go, look at your daughter. Look at your daughter. You're freaking her out. Meanwhile, she's not freaking her out at all, man.
Yeah, so yeah, we hit a tipping point last week when it... for those of you that are just listening for the first time, I've been going through this construction at my house, and it's caused some tension between me and my wife, Lana. So, yeah, it hit a tipping point, and I tell you what, it was great that we came out to New York City on Monday because we had to get out of that house. It's just killing us.
Yeah.
So, it's good.
Your whole house is under construction?
Yeah, the whole thing. They ripped the backyard apart. They ripped the kitchen, the living room. Our master bedroom is everything shot. We got one room that we're living in, and we're having picnics.
Kitchen is the worst because you can't cook, nothing. You can't do anything.
Nothing.
Did you know when you bought this place that you were going to do this much stuff, or all of a sudden you just start thinking, let's do this?
I thought it was ready to go. We bought the place. You've been there.
Yeah.
I said, this is it.
Look good to me.
Well, looks good to me. We'll put a couple new toilet seats on, and we'll move.
Right.
Move right ahead. But my wife wanted to... put her stamp on it.
Were there problems in the house that you didn't realize?
No, it was just like my wife is very creative. She's an artist, so she wants to put her stamp on the place, which I get. But now the project's gone from doing a couple of rooms to, you know, long as they're here, why don't we just knock out the master bath? And now, you know, they're going to look for tile and marble. I'm just a little bit more practical, and my wife is a little bit more, you know... Why not?
It's going to be a palace when it's done, though.
Yeah, well, whenever that gets done.
His frustrations, it boils over.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's killing you.
Yeah, so it's good to get out. We're in New York City for a week. We went to a restaurant called Blue Hill. There's a... did you watch that Chef's Table? It's my new documentary, by the way, on Netflix, my recommendation, called Chef's Table. And the guy that they featured on the documentary, we went to his restaurant a couple nights ago called Blue Hill. Everything is like from the farm. There's a farm about 35 minutes outside New York City called Blue Hill. And in the documentary, they describe how the food is, you know, kind of farm to table. You could taste the freshness. They brought out two radishes.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a radish?
I love a good radish.
I never had a...
You never had a radish?
I don't think, no.
Oh, they're delicious.
I'm telling you, growing up, I didn't like radishes, but they just bought two on like a stone.
Yeah.
Just took the radish.
Slices them thin a little bit because they melt in your mouth.
The whole radish, no slice, nothing.
Nice.
On the stalk.
Oh, yeah.
So you ate the radish with the leaf?
Yeah.
I got to go buy a bag of radishes now.
They're delicious.
Oh, my God.
How much was the radish at the place, though?
It's about $35.
I know.
It was one of these places where the radish was what they call the amuse-bouche, which is not on the... Not what you order. It's kind of like a palate to wake up your palate. That's how they brought it out. This is gonna wake up your palate. I said, I didn't even know it was asleep. And did it ever wake it up? So good, man.
They brought that before?
Before they started in on got like the tasting menu. So they brought out a couple radishes and it's just
to clean
delicious.
The palate, a little radish right out of the gate.
Oh man, there's nothing like a radish to wake you up.
Did you find this place or your wife did?
We're a bit of foodies, so we like to kind of eat when we come to New York City. We went to Del Posto the first night, and we had a saumonier with the wine. And we're always interested in how do people describe wine when you taste it? Like, where do the adjectives come from? So I tasted the wine and I asked the guy, how would you describe it? He goes, well, it's approachable. What the hell does that mean? The wine's approachable. Why are other wines like angry? I mean, what is approach? He goes, well, you know, it's very soothing as it goes down. He goes, let me ask you something. Are you salivating right now after you drink the wine? Are you salivating? Would you know if you were salivating or not? Like right now, are you salivating?
Yeah, but I'm for other reasons. I didn't just have a delicious wine. Well, live and it's not going well. That's why I'm salivating.
You know, you were saying that on the last show we did. It's not going well. When you say it's not going well, you're turning people off to the show.
Yeah, I know.
All right, just keep it going.
You're right.
You're bringing the morale of the room down.
I am.
Talking about how you keep sliding. Just deal with the chair.
I'm loving the radish talk. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I'm gonna play off the radish. You're right. You're absolutely right, man.
I'm over here describing radish on a stone.
You are.
You're looking at me like you're going to take a nap.
No, I'm looking at you like, I haven't had a radish in a long time, and I don't know why that is. I like, too, how the guys, have you ever delved into the mushroom world? Because I see a lot of these documentaries now about these guys that go out in the woods after it rains, and they cut all these mushrooms, and then they're selling them to these chefs for a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't know too much about the mushrooms. I do know there's a thing on, I think I saw it on A&E about truffles, where they go out and they have these dogs and they get these truffles.
Yeah.
And these truffles are so expensive, they deliver them to the restaurant in like an armored car where the guy gets out and he's got them handcuffed to a briefcase. It's like a whole business. And have you had truffles?
Handcuffed to a briefcase. I never seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
Like a CIA thing.
It's a big deal. They come in. They need security. They're charging like a... You're right?
Yeah, I did have a truffle once at a really fancy restaurant, man. Yeah. What do you think is the most expensive food in the whole world?
Truffles got to be up there. Right. They go for like tens of thousands of dollars sometimes.
Yeah. What about the meats, like the deer meat or reindeer meat?
I've had reindeer in Finland.
Yeah, I've heard over there. They're big over there.
Yeah, and I don't know.
Expensive?
It was not that expensive, but I had a bad reaction to it. It was not good for me.
There's some sort of fish that the Chinese eat that's a real delicacy that you're not supposed to be killing, like shark fin, but something like that that they eat.
Is it like sushi? They put it in the sushi?
No, they put it in a soup. And it's like really, really rich people are eating it. And it's, is anyone Googling this shit?
I don't know.
On our show, Sebastian would now be Googling. This is what we do. We do Google that shit.
Google.
Well, it's got to be truffles because anytime I go to a restaurant and they go, yeah, no, we serve our pastas with truffles, right away that turns me off because God knows how much the truffle shavings on top of the pasta is going to cost.
Right.
Anytime I hear truffle, I go the other way.
Why is that so expensive, man? Like,
because they're hard to find. They got to bring a dog out to find them.
When you eat truffle, though, are you like, oh, my God. Like, does a truffle taste better than a Hershey's chocolate kiss?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it has that type of effect.
Where do they grow? They grow in the woods or they grow in certain areas, like rainforest or...
I think they grow primarily, I want to say, in Italy and France, and they grow on...
rotten bark, I think.
I think it's
really?
Trees. Yeah.
Yeah, they grow in, like, you can get them in the Adirondacks, you can get them in parts of the States, too, man. It's like these guys, like Sebastian was saying, when it's raining, they'll go in there and get a bunch of it and put it in a basket, and then these chefs, you know, you bring it to the chefs, and they love it, man. They buy that shit up. There's some root, too. There's another root that's really popular. What do we got? Anything?
I can't Google it right now because we're using all our internet to broadcast this right now. So we're left to our own devices.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here, man.
This is high
tech. The amount of power that's coming out of this thing has shut down their Googling. All right?
Here's the thing. You know, the websites that would have that kind of information, like the most expensive foods, are all like these spammy websites that, like, they send so many ads down your throat because that's the only reason that website exists. They feed you like a little bit of information, but they make you see like 10 ads.
Yeah, I got it.
To each fact. Yeah.
In the U.S., edible truffles are located in the forest of Oregon and Washington. In Europe, most truffles are collected in France and Italy.
All right, there you have it. I mean,
truffle hunters in Italy and France use pigs and mixed breeds of dogs to to sniff him out.
Damn.
That's high tech to find someone.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the Robert Kelly podcast has now turned into the Cooking Channel.
There you go.
We took a you know what, dude, and we turned it into truffle shopping.
Beautiful. How do we get on the blanket?
I don't think Bobby updated the blanket recently.
How many shows are on Riotcast now?
I think like 16 or 15. I'm not exactly sure how many are on the network.
Who's paying for all the stuff Bobby's got in here? When do we get sponsors?
Pete's looking around the room going, are we missing out on ad dollars?
Yeah, I mean, look at these fantastic blankets, man.
Well, that's Bonnie and looks nothing like Bonnie McFarlane. And then Rich looks perfect there.
Yeah, I saw Rich the other night. He came out. I haven't seen him in a while. Are the tattoos new? I forgot to ask him. Has he always had tattoos on his arm?
Yeah. Yeah, he's had tats for a long time. All right.
Yeah, no, he came out the other night and... Yeah, so what do we got going on with where you're at?
With what?
With the whole thing, with the whole, I forgot we're live. We typically, sometimes when we do our show, we'll talk about stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to edit that out.
Yeah, no, we'll take a break. Yeah, this whole going live, do we have anyone...
Yeah, we have some comments, kind of like reactions to previous conversation topics. Soakum Wiz says, I'm just waiting for this calm-ass motherfucker to say he murdered the chef for burning his radishes. Mookie Phillips says, this is funny because it's so different from You Know What, Dude. It's good Sebastian is an original.
I'm telling you, this is good stuff. Stop. People are interested in the radish speed.
I didn't say a word, man. Dude, I'm just totally saying. On board. I'm totally on board, man. We're doing chef talk.
Brian Stanley says, all these guys sound and look like the Wahlbergs.
All right. Yeah. That's something. Yeah. This is why I don't do live. All right, what else you got?
Mookie Phillips says, Sebastian calms me down like a nurse reading my ingredients to my chemo.
I'm like Lunesta over here. I am putting people to sleep.
In a good way.
Yeah.
Yes, man. Yeah.
You listen to the show, you take a nap.
This is what we do on our cast. I mean, basically, we have topics and we talk and, you know, and we go from there. And
yeah, my best friend in comedy is a huge fan of your show. He's always talking about it.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Will Julian. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
I didn't think he'd know him anyway.
Yeah.
You look so uncomfortable right now. I mean, you don't even...
It's in his head. It's like, in his head right now.
It's like
yeah.
I'm talking to another guy.
Why?
I don't know. You're shifting. You're moving. I don't know. I feel like you're out of your element. I know where. Listen, relax.
I'm totally in my element.
All right.
I haven't said the show is bad in like 20 minutes.
Okay. I'm just saying you're normally the driving force behind our show, and you've taken a back seat here.
Yeah, I know. I don't have anything left to discuss right now. I didn't know what it was going to be like when we came in here, if we were going to be interviewed.
What an interview? What do you think the interview? We got nothing to...
I'm actually lying. I told Chris, I'm like, we got this, bro. We'll do everything. And now I'm sitting here going, I thought I was going to get interviewed. What the fuck?
We got notes.
Yeah, what do we get into? Let's get into. Want to do current events? We don't normally do that. I mean, did you hear that Putin was meeting with the Pope, and Putin made the Pope wait an hour? Did you know that? We're not talking about that. That's how fucking cool the Putin is.
Putin made the Pope wait in the lobby.
He was meeting the Pope, and he was an hour late.
Putin was.
Yeah, the president of Russia was an hour late to meet the Pope.
At that point, at 45 minutes, you got to walk away if you're the Pope.
Don't you? Don't you? Have
don't me, disrespect me
do
like that.
Do you even call the Pope and be like, Father, I'm running late? Like, do you do any of that? Or do
you probably send a guy.
I don't know.
Was he meeting in Italy or was he meeting in Russia?
I think they were in... I don't know. That's a good question. I'd be guessing if I said where they were meeting.
Yeah, because if it's hey, I'm in Russia and you're downstairs in the lobby, that's kind of a dick move. But if you're running late,
I mean, like I've been around people rushing to get ready. I'm like, what are you meeting the Pope? What's the rush? Like
we were running here. because we were late.
Right.
We didn't want to be 8 minutes late here for this show. So, you know, Putin just said, well, leave him. Leave him in the... I mean, well, listen, if it's in the Vatican, I'm sure the Pope's got stuff to do. And, like, yeah, just let me know when he gets here. But if you go, like he was saying, if you go to Russia and Putin's got the Pope just walking around back and forth with his hat on in the lobby, it's...
But do you think either way, like, Putin's handlers say, you know, you're an hour meeting, you're an hour late for that meeting, or do you think there's a little bit of, dude, this is the Pope, man. We're late for the Pope. Or is it just another guy?
I think Putin did it on purpose.
The Pope? You know, how evil do you got to be late for the Pope? I could see him doing that to Obama, right?
I mean, hey, he goes by his rules. He don't give a fuck.
I suppose. Well, we got that in current events. the two guys are still on the loose, I'm assuming. Oh, we have no updates. We can't even check online to see if the two men...
Oh, no. Last night, they were on. I watched Doug the Bounty Hunter on CNN. Talking about how he wants to go and try to get these guys. So if they were on the loose still. I wish they weren't murderers because I kind of want them to get away.
That's what he was saying.
They murder people. If they like, you know, breaking and entering, I'm like, yeah, go. I hope you never get caught. But murderers, I can't let them fucking go.
I know, but I'm just, you know.
You kind of root for them, though.
It's fun. It's exciting. I would love to know, like, what the guy said to Wu, the woman who works at the prison. Like, how charming do you have to be that literally through bars, there's bars, and you're like, you look nice today, baby. I haven't seen that sweater before. Is that new? I mean, you're just working her, right? I mean, you're working
her. That's got to be years of working her.
And how did it finally get to...
I
wish I could get out of here and spend more time with you. Just wish we could walk the beach.
Do you think that they fell in love and then he said...
She had to fall in love.
Well, yeah, but do you think this was set up from the get-go? The guy goes, listen, I'm going to befriend the girl and she's going to get us out of here? Or they start having a relationship and he goes back to his cell and tells his buddy, I think this one's going to get us out of here.
Yeah, that one, man, right?
The second one?
I think that one, yeah.
Yeah, well, you really think the only reason he tried to break out was for love?
No!
Gotta get to my baby! Yeah. I gotta get to my baby! No, man, he's playing it. Yeah, exactly, man.
But didn't she was going to meet up with them and then didn't at one point?
That's what they say.
She kind of, I mean, she's the one who broke it off.
Yeah, but like, whatever, I'm out now.
Oh, now, you don't give a fuck now. He's happy now.
Yeah.
I can't believe they can't find him. It's, you know, they have trackers on every cell phone. And they can't find these two guys.
I wouldn't believe my dog. That's the thing. When the dog has a scent and the dog is pulling me, I just wouldn't believe it. I'd be like, where are you taking me, man? Right? Wouldn't you think that? And then all of a sudden, you're 2 miles in and the dog just takes a shit. And sits there, like, because it's got nothing. And wasted my time. And then it starts jerking me again. Like, you know, how do you know?
Well, I think the dog's scent level is almost comparable to a bear. A bear could do, what, 7 miles? That's how keen a nose is on a bear. I don't know what it is on a dog.
Have they found anything?
They picked it up. I don't know if they found anything, but they picked up a scent trail. That's the last I heard.
Yeah,
I mean,
but, a few different times, man. A few different times it's led them on. But, like, so a dog could go, like literally 3 or 4 miles out. It can smell all these different things and go, wait, no, I think I smell, like, in pinpoint. I don't know, man.
It's amazing. They give him a piece of clothing, and he smells the clothing, and then that's what he's honed into.
Well, if they're smart, wouldn't they just leave trails, maybe a piece of their clothes on, like, on a branch? So, hey, the dog thinks he's going this way. I'm really going that way.
Yeah.
To try to throw them off. That's what I would do.
Or in any movie I ever see, they jump in the river, and then that's it. The scent is gone. You can't trace the scent when the guy jumps into the river.
Oh, is the river's like, that's where you need to go?
Is that what the Shawshank one?
Yeah.
When he gets out of the ship pile, he's right into the river?
Once they get to the river, that's it, man. It's all done. It's all done.
So he's in Costa Rica. They're in Costa Rica right now with the warden's money.
I don't know. What would you do if you were on the lam? I'd go live in the woods somewhere.
Where would you go?
The thing is, wherever you go, like, let's say you go to some campsite all by yourself. The minute you're seen by one person, you're out in the middle of the woods hiding out. One dude just comes hiking through and sees you, and you're like, hey, what's up? And he's like, oh, hey, what's up? And then you're like, I know that motherfucker's going to go back and tell people I'm
here. Yeah, you got to. Yeah. I think they might have kidnapped somebody, and then just either they're still with them or they had to kill them. Because you can't let them go. You're going to go right to the cops.
Yeah, exactly.
So they got. I think they might have kidnapped somebody, and then he'd take me, you know, down south or whatever. How long after they did they escape? Did they know? Like, was it like an hour?
In the morning, the next morning when they
Oh, so they had at least an 8-hour head start.
Yeah, they had a head start. But if you saw these two guys walking in New York City, would you recognize them?
No.
If you saw a guy, I don't even look at people. Like, from my hotel here, I couldn't tell you who the hell I saw.
Yeah.
Do you even look at people? I don't even look at people.
Well, I mean, living in New York, I'm always on the defense of people asking for money or asking for something. So I'm more like, man, even someone approaches me, no, go away. As soon as that, so I wouldn't... I don't
yeah, but you're not making
shit.
Eye contact no. with a lot of people on the sidewalk in New York City, are you?
No.
Okay, that's what yeah. I'm saying.
Even if...
That guy could have walked right past me, I wouldn't know.
He could walk... Not only that, he could ask me for a dollar. I could have just seen his picture on TV.
Yeah.
He could ask me for a dollar, and all I'd say to a friend is... This bum looks just like the guy. Asking for a dollar. Who uses bum anymore? Oh, my God. That's pretty outdated. By the way, I was watching the other day a movie called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn with Robin Williams. And, again, Peter Dinklage is on it. The little person.
Yeah.
And he did something that was funny. And I said to my wife, you know, that midget's funny, man. He's a hell of an actor. And she said... That you can't use that word.
Yeah.
Okay, and which you know too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we went online to see what's acceptable. Little people's acceptable. Dwarf is on the bubble, but I would think that's bad.
I've heard that, actually. Dwarf is more acceptable than the midget.
How is that possible?
I don't get that
either. I think I have more
either,
of a problem with dwarf. And then I said to my wife, can you, though, say to somebody who's not a midget, they're just short, like a friend of yours, can you go, God, you're like a midget, you're so short? Or... Because they're not really a midget. Is that offensive to call a short person a midget?
Well, what is the height requirement? Is it 4 foot and below considered a little person, dwarf?
I think to get a handicap, it's like 4'10 or below. You're like, now you're handicapped.
What, a little person can park in the handicapped spaces?
Yeah.
Why? Oh, because to save that long journey.
I mean... That walk is like, that's like a mile to them.
Oh, all right.
Sweating.
So that word is officially off the table in any capacity.
You can't say that.
It's up there with the N-word.
Have you guys ever gotten in trouble? Having like a midget joke, and you say the midget, and then people are like, that's offensive. You can't say that.
I really don't do midget jokes, but I didn't know that you couldn't say a midget's a midget. I mean, I don't know. Is that naive? You know? I don't know.
Yeah, no, somewhere along the line, it turned into a little person. But, yeah, I guess midget is a derogatory.
Burr has a great bit about that. This is, like, his older CD. He goes, when do we can't call them midgets anymore? They all want to be little people. He's like, everyone wants to hang out with a midget, too. That's always the, like, the famous people always have, like, a midget in their group.
That's funny. Do you know any little people?
No, I don't. Do you?
No, but I was at a party once, and a little person walked in, and there was 12 people at the party. And I don't know, it's just, if you're a little person, and you walk into a party, and there's, like, all grown people there.
Well, you're grown, too.
What's that?
You're still full grown as well. It's not like you're looking at them going, oh, I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, well, they're a fully grown little person.
Yes.
Yeah, so they came to the party and, you know, they behaved as if, you know. No, I mean, they were dancing. It was like they had no
well, that's the way I watch
reservation.
I like how you said they're going to behave.
No, but I know what you're saying. Cause like when
I mean, if I was a little person, I walked in and there's like 12 grown-ups there. Being the way I am in my personality, and obviously I've never been a little person, but I'd be, you know, I don't know, this person was dancing and having a ball.
Yeah, 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 right? I mean...
Didn't bother them whatsoever. Why?
Well, like, when I'm watching Peter Dinklage, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, he's acting in the scene, and he's just yeah, sure, let's go. We'll go get lunch at 12:30. And I look at my wife and I go, he's just so, like, normal about it.
Yeah.
So she's like, what is he supposed to say? I know I'm a little person and all, but let's get lunch at 12:30.
Yeah, he's like a real person.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I guess you got to get over it and just walk in and enjoy the party.
Get over it. Get over it. I mean, I'd be so self-conscious about it. I'd walk in and go, yeah, little person's here. Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Would you be the party starter? Like, all right, I gotta make up for the fact that I'm a little person.
Well, I don't know. This person was just definitely the party starter. He walked in and he was like, "This is great music," and he was dancing. I go, "This guy's fantastic."
Well, that's the other thing too, man. There's that responsibility, you know. If he's like quiet, you'd be thinking, "He's so sad." Because it's, yeah. You know,
he's not letting his handicap get to him.
Yeah. I told you, and I never put this on the air, but I was telling Sebastian a story once, like a couple of years ago. I did this awful movie, some guy had money, and just crazy scene where, in a nutshell, I'm in an airplane and a midget comes by a little person comes by in a parachute. It's a crazy scene, right? But all day long, this guy, his name was Scott. He had to hang on this big contraption, and when they'd yell action, they would swing him past me, and I would bite into a sandwich, and he'd take the sandwich from me. And in between takes, he'd be hanging way up here, dangling, you know, and we'd chat for a little while, and like once in a while, like they were just about to do the scene. And you know, when you film stuff, it takes forever to get the lighting just right, and they're just about to film the scene, and then he goes, "This hurts. The harness is hurting me. I need to be let down. I need to be let down for a second," right? And he's like face to face with me. I'm on this plane and he's hanging. And if it was like you, Sebastian, I'd go, "Bro, hang in there. We're just like, we're just gonna film. Just hang in there. I know your crotch hurts." But when you're dealing with a little person, you're so respectful of what you're asking of them that you have to go, get him down. Everybody, get him down. You know, but in my head, I'm like, oh, now we're delayed 2 hours. Fuck, you know. But you got to be respectful. And it was like a long day, and you're trying to be very respectful of the guy. And then at the very end of the day, it was a Friday, and it was like 7:30 at night. And some of us were going to go get some beers. We were in Brooklyn. And he comes walking past, and he's wearing a black trench coat. And I go, "Scott, hey, where you going? I thought we were going to go get some beers. You not coming?" And he goes, nah. And I get closer, and I notice an S. And I go, what's that? And I look inside of his trench coat, and he's wearing a Superman costume under his trench coat. And there was a bar opening that night, a brand new bar opening in Brooklyn. And they hired a bunch of little people to dress as superheroes to be a mingle at the party and serve hors d'oeuvres
and take
photos.
He's working.
Yeah, and like the life of a little person is just never done, man. And you got to do whatever gig comes your way. Like,
what was the Wall Street?
You have to be on. My point is you have to be on. You can't afford to not. You want to make a living as a little person, you got to be ready to sing Follow the Yellow Brick Road at any goddamn moment, man. You know?
In the opening scene of Wolf of Wall Street, they throw in midgets into the bullseye.
Little people, you mean?
Little people, yes.
No,
little people.
It starts today, man.
Yeah, all right.
By the end of this show, people are going to be eating radishes and calling them little people. So what were they doing?
They were throwing
Don't
little people.
Don't stop talking.
That was it, basically. They were just throwing little people at bullseyes.
Oh.
And
midget.
They were betting on who could get like closer to the bullseye.
Little people tossing. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know any of them. No. I don't know any.
There's a couple of comics in L.A.
Brad Williams. Yeah. There's a couple out there. I forget the other guy's name.
I had a friend in high school that was 7'1". That was pretty trippy in the other capacity.
You played basketball with?
Yeah, he didn't even want to play, but they made him play because he was tall. And I was really into hoops, you know, and like I wanted our team to be good, so I'd bring him to my house. I had a hoop in my backyard, and I would take my broomstick, and my dad would feed him the ball, and then I'd guard him with the broomstick to try and give him, you know, the idea in case he ever plays against someone else who's 7'1". But, yeah, man, it was like it's a tough way to live to be that tall.
Well, I mean, you're
too tall is not good.
You know, 7'1", you're expected to kind of get into some type of basketball, no? This guy didn't want nothing to do with it?
No, he didn't. I mean, no, he didn't really.
So what is he doing now? Is he like an accountant?
He's a chef.
He's a chef in a kitchen?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you're that tall, why don't I just try to ride it out basketball or, you know, I'd be a pitcher in baseball because you're releasing the ball at 44 feet. How hard that's going to come in.
Was it the taller the better on the mound?
Well, yeah, because you're already, like Randy Johnson, when he played, he was 6'10".
He
was releasing the ball at like 45 feet, where normal pitchers release it at like 48.
Oh.
So that's 3 more feet of him holding the ball.
Yeah. Tall people say they like being tall. I don't know, though, man.
Not that.
I know this kid in my college, he was 7'2". He played basketball. He was terrible. One of the worst players I've ever seen athletically.
But again, in college, when he would come into the party, everyone would be like,
"Yeah!" Everyone would look up and be like, "Oh fuck, this guy's huge."
Oh, is that you, Pete?
Yeah.
you bring up a good point here, though, and we talked about this early on. You know, the little person having to get him down because you didn't know
right. Be respectful.
Be respectful. And we had this incident where I did where I had a guy in my dressing room who was in a wheelchair. Remember the story?
Yes.
That we didn't air.
Yeah.
So I'm doing this gig, and there's this guy in my dressing room in a wheelchair, and he kind of took over the dressing room. He just took it over, not because he was in a wheelchair, just because he was that type of personality, and he wasn't on the show, and I felt that he needed to leave, but he was in a wheelchair, so I felt like I couldn't say anything.
If you ask him, you're a dick.
I'm a dick.
Yeah.
But he was being a dick.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Can I tell a person, you're going to have to get the hell out of the room because you're being an asshole? When does the handicap
become too much.
A non-issue?
Yeah.
That's what I was struggling with with this guy.
That's a tough call, man. I mean, just a little side one. I was chatting with a guy at something once recently by where I live, this function, and he was in a wheelchair, and then I needed a flyer. And he goes, I can give you a flyer. And I go, that'd be great. I'm really interested in this. And he got up and grabbed me a flyer. And I went, what the? And he goes, oh, no, there's just nowhere to sit. So I grabbed the wheelchair. Right? And in my head, I'm like, I wouldn't even have been so nice to you. And quite frankly, I don't even want the fucking flyer. I just said I wanted the flyer because you're in the wheelchair. Yeah. So, but I think the answer is, there is no limit. That guy could be in there and be a dick. Somehow he got into your green room. The fact that he's in there, you can't kick a guy out in a wheelchair.
What was he doing in the green room, though?
He just thought he was part of the group. And I mean, I don't typically like anybody in the green room before I go on the show just because I'm, kind of getting my head right. But he was in there, and I felt like I had to leave my own green room. So I had to set up shop somewhere else and get ready because I didn't want to say, hey, man, you need to get the hell out of here.
I mean, if you kick him out, he's like, oh, this guy's Sebastian's a dickhead. Yeah, who the fuck this guy is?
You think he is. Isn't it
amazing, though, when you leave, is there any more of an indication that I don't want you in my green room than when I leave it? I've done that, too, on the road. I leave my green room, and everyone just stays in there. It's like, why do you think I'm leaving, man? Because I need to be alone. So if you guys would get out of there, I could go back in there.
Yeah.
They just go, I guess Pete just likes to wander around.
Yeah, and as soon as they leave, I walk back in. They're not picking up on that.
No, they come right back in.
Oh, he's back in there.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
No, but in life, when something goes really horrible and someone will sometimes even say to you, it could be worse, you could be in a wheelchair or something like that. That's where this guy is at. So, no, there is no scenario I can think of where you can go, you can't kick him out. I mean, if he's sitting there cursing and yelling, that's one thing. But if he's just being, like, a little abrasive.
I feel like there's, like, people with handicaps, there's two ways. They'll, like, overcome it. They'll do stuff to overcome it, or they'll use it as a crutch.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
I'd be pissed too.
I'd be cutting lines.
Oh, yeah,
you cut the line. I'm like, I don't know. Because I got a wheel, guy.
I'm definitely getting a parking pass.
Oh.
I'm looking for parking is the worst.
Oh, God.
Right in front.
Oh, all that stuff, right?
I know it's crazy too. At my gym, there are guys who have handicapped parking, yet they go and work out. How much of a handicap do you fucking need to work out? They're running on the treadmill.
Yeah, that's like a huge scam right now. Everybody's getting those handicaps, and it makes me sick when people get the handicap.
Really?
They walk.
See, that's taboo. I would never, even if I got the free placard, I couldn't do it, man. Like, I've seen people parking handicapped because somebody in their family is handicapped, but unless that person's with you, you don't get to park in the handicap.
I'm saying. Yeah. No, that's a. Yeah, I don't know. I've often bit my tongue a lot in regards to. I mean, here, a guy came up to me last night and he started doing magic during the meet and greet. He came up to me after the show and he goes, what do you think of this? He took out five $1 bills. He goes, one, two, three, four, five. He goes, what could you buy for $5? I go, I don't know. Socks? Okay. What could you buy with one, two, three, four, five? $500 bills. Gives me his card out of nowhere. He goes, here. give this to somebody. I know you know people.
What?
Like, I'm going to give the guy a magic gig?
He's going to be your new opener.
This guy's doing magic in the middle of the meet and greet. Then he asked me to give my card to someone. Like, what the fuck? What am I going to do with that?
I don't know, man. Oh,
man,
my God.
You meet everybody in these meet and greet lines. One guy come up to me. He's like, hey, here you go. It's my car. Doing Brooklyn real estate. Like, I was going to go, oh, God, I was just looking in Brooklyn. For... Like, what the, you know, I mean, I could see if you got a restaurant, you're inviting, so, yeah, come by and, you know, taste my food. But, like, real estate in Brooklyn, it's so specific. Like, why would I?
It's true.
Do you think they just want to feel important?
I don't know what it is, but I've never given out a card, even when I had a card. I don't have cards anymore, but I was like the king of marketing growing up, doing stand-up. Like, I had my flyers and whatnot. I had these cards that I made up that was, like, all lights. It looked like I'm running a nightclub. I had, like, lights with people. And even that, I was, like, embarrassed to give out because, I don't know, I feel like when people give you the card, it's like... I don't know.
Like tacky?
Yeah, it's like, here's my card. I didn't even ask.
Well, there's a coffee shop where I live, and they all put their cards on a table. So, you know, if you have a business, you put your card there. But, like, that's another thing, too. I've never walked in going, I need a painter. Oh, let me look at the cards and see if there's a painter here that...
I see the card, and I go, I'll never call the guy. I'll never call the card at the coffee shop that's in the... That's on a bulletin. I don't do bulletin board ads either. You ever go to a bulletin board and go... And
painter, say, plumber.
Painter, plumber, maid looking for work. That's sick. Right? On a piece of paper pinned to a board looking for work.
Looking for work, man.
My wife did that once. She hired a housekeeper off the thing. The thing at Whole Foods. They had like a pin board there. And she called the number. I go, what are you doing? This is not legitimate.
Well, do you think you should have to go through a place?
Proper channel.
A service where they vet them.
Vetting. Not on a bulletin board. Have you put anything ever on a bulletin board? Ever? For work? For anything? Need help?
No.
Looking for?
No.
And then they call you and they go, Where'd you get it? Oh, I got it off the bulletin board. Oh, yeah. Come on over. Never happened.
There was a bulletin board where I lived in Manhattan in the lobby, and what I would do is put anonymous notes on the bulletin board about other people in the building.
Yeah, that's
like
fine.
Like 3A, get your stroller out of the hallway. It's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of shit. And then when 3A would be reading it, that happened one time. I came downstairs and she was reading it, and she was like, did you see this? And I do that. I fake read it. And I'm like, who's got a problem with the stroller?
It's atrocious. That's terrible. Who would do that?
Who would do that?
I did that in the laundry room of my apartment once. I wrote down, please take your clothes out of the washer next time. I left that in the thing. The next day, I came out of my door in my apartment. On the door is a tampon on my door. They nailed it into my door and said, don't leave a note in the washing area. Like, what kind of psychotic is living in my apartment that they're nailing tampons to my door?
How did they know it was your note?
I don't know. That's what
why,
I'm trying
why
to
a tampon?
Figure
why?
I have no idea. A tampon right on the door with a note attached to the tampon. Don't write notes in the laundry room. But it's okay for you to.
Did anyone see you? Because
I don't know. Maybe they did. That's the only reason, or they knew. I don't know. I don't know how the hell that happened.
Unless it was just obvious it was you based on like what you had a problem with. I mean.
Well, maybe because I wrote it on like an Italian pizza napkin, or maybe it was a giveaway. It's the Italian in 6A that's writing these notes.
God damn, man! It's been a while with the laundry with other people. Now that I have my own, but like I had one time. I was doing my laundry in New York City, and I put my laundry in the wash, and then I went to get a cup of coffee, and I forgot my money, so I immediately went back to get my money out of my laundry bag, which I left in the laundry room, and there was a woman, like my age, totally normal lady, using my detergent.
Ooh.
She was dumping it in her thing, and it was so embarrassing because now we're both looking at each other, and it was awkward, and she gives me this look, and she goes, I'm sorry, I just ran out. And she did. She had some, but she had ran out. And she goes, I ran out, and I didn't want to run all the way up to the deli to get to the store just to get more for one more load. And she does that like that. So I go, well, I guess I'll just have to go up that much sooner. You know?
She didn't offer to pay you or something?
Well, no. And then I walked back out with my wallet to go get coffee, and a little bit of me was like, yeah, maybe I wasn't so nice, you know? But I come back, and now we're on the same cycle because now I'm drying and she's drying. So it's like no one's talking because she stole from me earlier. And then she leaves for a little while, comes back, and I'm just about done folding my stuff. And she finishes folding her stuff before me. And right before she leaves, she looks back at me, and she slides over a king-size Snickers. And she goes, sorry about taking the detergent. Here's a little something for apologies. And she slides me the Snickers. And I go, did you steal that too? And then she goes, I tried. She goes, I tried. And she leaves. And I go, God, I was a dick.
Yeah, no,
I should have accepted that.
Snickers,
because I do. I've stolen the laundry. I've done that. I just don't get caught, man. You know? But yeah, I should have forgave her, man.
Yeah, I mean, she gave you a Snicker bar. You got to forgive her.
I know. I lied.
That's a good line, though. That's a good line, though. That's a good line. Like. Be a dick, but it's a good line to
use. And
you're
only giving me the Snickers because you got caught. It's not like you would have slid it over. You didn't know, but I stole your laundry. There's a little something.
Did she have the Snickers already? Is there a vending machine where she got it?
No, when she left, she went up to the deli.
Oh.
Yeah. The theft.
She should have gave you a few bucks then.
Yeah, I know. I've had a lot of things stolen in Manhattan. Bicycles, man. Just so much shit. I stole one time. This is only a few years ago. I was on my roof deck, and I saw somebody else had on their roof deck these two awesome chairs that you can put on your back, like a knapsack, to take to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting up there, like abandoned. It wasn't even a hang area or anything. And I'm like, if they're there next week, I'm going to take them. So I took them, and I used them at the beach one day, and I really liked them and stuff. And the whole time I'm sitting there at the beach, I'm like, you don't steal. What are you, a loser? What are you doing? So I snuck back on their roof. And put them back. I wonder if the guy was like, they're back! Who has ever stolen and brought back? Right?
How long did you have them for? He might not even realize that.
One weekend. I used them for one weekend. I just felt awful about it, so I put them back.
He might have realized for a weekend, yeah. I thought it was a couple hours or something, went to Rockaway, and he came back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a surprise. I mean, the guy goes up there and he goes, oh, God, someone stole it. And then, and 4 days later, he goes, oh my God, it's a miracle.
They're back.
The guy had a conscience.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That's funny shit. I had my car, my driver's side mirror stolen from me a couple of times around here.
The mirror?
Just the mirror. There's a thing that was going on. They just wanted to steal the mirrors. They would steal the mirror of my
car.
For
what?
I have no idea. The first week I had my car, I got my mirror stolen. I was furious. Furious.
Yeah, I had my CDs stolen out of my car once. And this is when, you know, there was no, like, iCloud where you could back up anything. Like, the CD collection was
That's huge.
And it was gone. All the music gone. I used to have that thing where, you know, you just...
The flip.
And three, and just you flip them. All my Michael Jackson gone.
Oh,
terrible.
Man.
I had the box set.
I had a bicycle one time locked up to a parking meter out in front. I used to live on 2nd Avenue, and I was drunk. And I look out on my brother was living with me. We look out on our balcony, and there was a guy. It had to be like 3 in the morning. And the way I locked up the bike, if you jiggled it enough, you could just pull the chain over the head of the meter and take the whole bike.
Oh, jeez.
You know? So we were throwing empty beer cans at him, telling him to get the hell out of there. And he did, but I was so drunk that I just went to bed. Like, and then he just came back and took it later. You know? So in the morning it was gone, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be here. Don't worry about it.
One time I locked up my bike, and they took my wheels, and they took my brakes, and they took my seat. Like, they just anything that wasn't locked up, they took. So by the time I was done living in the city, the size of the lock you would have to ride around on your bike with to lock up, it just became not even worth it, man.
You when you were living in the city, you drove a lot on your bike, you said?
Yeah, I used to do it. I was telling Sebastian I'd hold on to the side of the buses and shit sometimes to make time going up hills, man. I did all that crazy shit.
That's I wouldn't do that shit.
Not anymore, I wouldn't. Yeah, man.
Who knows if fucking some cab's going to hit you.
I saw one time a delivery guy on his bike got cut off by a cab and went over the hood of the cab, right? But it one of those where he slid over the hood and he was fine and he just got up. And these kind of guys, these bikers, they wear their thick chains, their bike chains around their shoulder and their neck like here. So when they get off, they can just quick chain it up. He gets up, pulls that off, goes like this with it, smashes the back windshield, puts it back on, and he's gone. And then the cabbie's just looking out the window yelling, but the guy's going in the opposite direction in traffic. There's nothing you can do, man.
That's the worst. My dad broke his collarbone. He was crossing the street, and a delivery guy on a bike, one of those motorized bikes, comes and hits him, knocks him down, and breaks his collarbone.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. They're crazy.
That's
they're
been
nuts.
Happening a lot. I mean, Lana and I, we were talking about this earlier, rented a bike, my wife and I, to go around New York City, and there's no rules. There's a bike lane, but people are walking in the bike lane. There's skateboarders going through the city in the middle of the traffic. Then these people have these, it's like the new Segway, but it's like a wheel, and they put their feet on the wheel, and then they just go. There's no, like, it's almost like they're... Have you seen these things?
No, I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I've seen them. It's
what are they called?
I'm not sure. I think it's a prototype that's kind of going around. It's not official yet, but some people have it.
It's just like they...
It's motorized?
It's motorized. Yeah. It's a wheel, and it's almost like a big roller blade. And people are going around the city like that.
And you put your feet on either side of this big wheel?
And you just lean forward and you go. It's like a motorized... I can't even describe what the hell
that
it is.
Sounds like a 70th birthday present to me. I'm telling you right there,
there
man.
There you go.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
So.
That's funny.
So that's that.
That's that. Well, if you liked what you heard today, folks.
Yeah.
What? It's been... No, it's... This is, you know... We don't normally go live.
Slow,
it's been
fun. But it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fucking great time.
It is.
Yeah.
Should we keep going?
It's up to you. We did an hour six so far.
Do we have anyone else commenting?
Yeah. Let me just give me a second.
All right.
Soakum Wiz says... they call it the term dwarfism is allowed because it's a medical condition, and that's why it's acceptable.
Ah,
there you go.
There we go.
Oh,
that's
all right.
It. We're getting people Googling that.
Yep. A real true Jonas fan says, "Hey Pete, it's Catherine from New Year's. I'm watching and wanted to say hi."
Ah, very nice. Hey Catherine, yeah, she's a sweetheart, man. Real nice fan.
You sure? Isn't that one of those people in the line? That's what? Crazy.
Magic.
Like the meet and greet.
Magic
you just
people.
Say.
Yeah, like my dad has one of his closest friends has a son that is into magic, and like I, you know, a few years back the kid was like, he's got to be in his 20s now, but back then he was like 10 years old, and we had a family function, and he, you know, he's like, I'm gonna do some magic tricks and stuff. Now I don't know about you, but you're weird if you're into magic, right? Right. I mean, isn't that right away? Like I'm not even watching the magic. I'm just like, look at you.
I think at that age, you're more nerdy. You got no friends really. So like, oh, I'm gonna play with magic. That'd be my friend.
Yeah.
And then you grow up into that atmosphere.
Yeah, like Jeff Dunham, you know, the ventriloquist star. Since fourth grade, he would every photo for the school photo he would do with his doll and him. All the way up through high school. Even senior year, his doll was in the photo with him.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, if you didn't end up as big of a star as you are, then you would just be that guy everyone would go, dude, when I was growing up, there was this fucking wacko that would do with his dolls, right?
Yeah, like Copperfield. He's a multimillionaire, but if he never got to that level,
right,
he's
yeah.
some fucking weirdo in a trailer,
he's
probably.
He's so sexy and women love him, right? But like, if he didn't hit just like that, you know,
yeah, he's playing,
he'd just be the weird guy.
He's playing like the showrooms in like fucking casinos, doing magic up to come up to people. That's like a weird thing.
Yeah,
people do that.
What do you do if you don't make it in magic? If you're doing magic and you're a comedian, I'm sorry, if you're a stand up and you're a comedian and you kind of never hit, you always could kind of do the stand up in clubs. But as like a guy who's doing large scale magic tricks,
yeah,
what's the
I don't think you can get to that large scale magic tricks. It's got to be a lot of sleight of hand stuff.
Well, what is it like as far as just a significant other in your life? Like when I've had moments where I'm on the edge of the bed and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know? My wife will be like, well, you got that Letterman thing coming up, or don't forget, you know, you're working on your new hour. There was always hope. There was always something. I'm a magic guy, and I'm looking at my wife going, it's just nothing's happening. Where's she going to go? Well, you got the new card thing that you do with the twos. That's going to blow up, probably. And what about the rabbit? No one does that rabbit like that. I mean.
Yeah, but like, what's the break a magic guy is looking for? And then if he don't make that break, like you said, is he walking around parties now going, take a look at this. I mean, where do you go with that?
I don't know.
There was a documentary on Netflix about like young magicians, like they start at like 13 and then they go to this like special school and they develop their magic through the school and then they become world-class magicians. But that's the only thing I've heard of it.
But I've done we've joked about this on our cast, like I've done this Norwegian getaway big fancy cruise ship. Doing stand-up on there. The accommodations for the performer are great and all that. And there's a magician who does a show every night. And as great as the money was and the setup was as a comedian, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm on a fucking cruise ship right now. What the fuck? But the magician was like, this is great. I made it. So like, a cruise ship is like one of the...
Is like NBC deal.
Yes, exactly, yes. You know, for a comic, you get a cruise ship and you go, oh my God, I hope no one from none of the comics from New York City find out I was on their goddamn blah, blah, blah. But in the magic world, yeah, it's like
I guess. Because, every kids love magic, so you're always going to have, on a cruise ship, there's a lot of kids. So they're going to love you.
Yeah, and this was a big, heavy set guy with a long goatee, and he'd paint his fingernails black, and then every night he'd do his magic, and then he'd be on the boat drinking with all the passengers, loved him, and then whenever we go to St. Martin, there was a prostitute there, because it's legal, named Candy, and he would get a rub down and sex from her once a week, and then when we go to Nassau, that's where he'd get his sushi, and he lived on the boat for like 8-9 months at a time. And he just loved it. It was just no family, no connections, just doing my magic out at sea. Right? What a magical way to live, man.
Aren't you envious of that, though?
A little bit.
So happy doing this. And when we do stand up, you do a show, you're like, I fucking hate myself.
This
is the worst. What am I doing?
I know.
But they're so happy fucking on a cruise ship.
God damn, I'm doing one hits a pot looking at my cruise ship in St. Martin going, I can't believe I got to get back on that goddamn thing and do more jokes. And he's just embracing it. He's walking through St. Martin going, I can't believe I have a whole day to myself for free. I do this for a living. God, it's a different world.
He's getting back in the boat. I got to do magic now.
I know. I know.
But after the certain tricks, though, wouldn't like, don't you have a joke, and after a while, you're like, I don't want to do this joke that much anymore. I mean, after you do the rabbit out of the hat, how many times could you make it?
I know.
Exciting.
I know. Do you start finding yourself going, ta-da?
Yeah.
People are like, you're not selling it, guys. Yeah. I would have a new one, right? Why even do ta-da? Come up with your own, right? After every trick, maybe I go, and that's that.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, you got to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know what else to say. You got anything else you want to add?
Plug your shows this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be playing at Bananas and Hasbrook Heights. One show Friday, two shows Saturday. And, go to PeteCorielli.com. Find out where I'll be playing and what's going on. And me and Sebastian do this show, the Pete and Sebastian Show. Comes out usually every Friday.
Every Friday, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check that out, SebastianLive.com for show dates and what's going on. And we'd like to thank everybody for having us on the show. We had a great time. And,
yeah, this was great. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a lot of fun. It was a little adjustment at first, but...
Real fast, I'm going to just read Bobby's dates real quick. June 27th, Treehouse in Sports Haven, New Haven. And then July 16th, 17th, 18th, he's at the Gotham Comedy Club. July 24th and 25th at the Comedy Cove in Springfield, New Jersey. So go to RobertKellyLive.com for all his dates.
Beautiful, man.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Robert Kelly, for letting us take over your show, brother. And doesn't his show come out this week?
Sunday night. Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
No, it's July 16th.
July 16th. All right.
All this stuff is coming out now, though. They're showing some like little clips here and there, so everyone's starting to get
excited.
Noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool.
Sounds a good show.
All right. Good hanging. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.